hot in here, or is it just me? Hey, welcome everyone. What we've got here is another blazing hot episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yep, we're getting into all sorts of things thermal this week, from some super cool new technology coming out of MIT called thermal resonators to the best practices for thermal management. Now, we all know that energy is all around us, right? But how exactly do we harness it? Well, MIT has some plans, and it's called a thermal resonator. And folks, it can do some seriously amazing stuff. Okay, so by utilizing the gradual ambient temperature changes that occur over the course of a day, this MIT creation can literally pull electricity out of the air. Yes, the air. Now, let's back up a little bit. Scientists throughout the world have been experimenting with gathering energy from temperature fluctuations for several years now. But until now, most of that research has centered around the thermoelectric principle. In this principle, energy is created by taking advantage of the difference in temperature between two sides of a material. As heat travels from the hotter side to the cooler side, an electrical charge carrier flows with it, and thus a voltage difference is created, thereby creating electricity in the process. The biggest problem with the thermoelectric applications today, which include paint, clothing, and cooking pots, is that the temperature difference needs to be really big. But this new thermal resonator technology coming out of MIT takes that all away. It utilizes something called the pyroelectric effect, which allows it to tap into the more gradual fluctuations of temperature over longer periods of time, thus allowing it to work more effectively within a natural environment. Okay, so how does this thing work? So the main component of MIT's thermal resonator is actually a foam created from copper or nickel that has been infused with a wax called octadecane. So this octadecane is pretty cool. It can actually change phases, so it can liquefy and solidify at specific temperatures. So, on top of this phase-changing wax is placed a layer of graphene. And together, this combination of materials gives the thermal resonator a very high thermal effusivity, which means it can draw heat from its surroundings and also release heat into its surroundings. Basically, the heat is captured on one side of the thermal resonator, and then the heat is slowly radiated through the material to the other side. But here's the important part. It is stored in that phase-changing material in the middle. It's kind of like a teeter-totter. One side of the material will always be cooler, and the heat will always try to balance out the material to create an equilibrium of sorts. And the best part? The energy created using this technology can be harvested using regular old thermoelectric systems. So, what kind of energy are we talking about getting from this bad boy? Well, one might use the word modest to describe it. Researchers at MIT's Department of Chemical Engineering say the system would create enough power to run low-power remote sensors and equipment without the need of batteries. But even further, this new thermal technology may be best to support what is called orthogonal energy resources. So it could be used to back up other sources of energy collection, like wind power or solar energy, when the conditions weren't exactly right for them. I think Michael Strano, co-author of the study, puts it perfectly. We've built the first thermal resonator. It's something that can sit on a desk and generate energy out of what seems like nothing. If you want even more information about this thermal resonator technology coming out of MIT, I've included a link to an article by the MIT Times called System Draws Power from Daily Temperature Swings. Technology developed at MIT can harness temperature fluctuations of many kinds to produce electricity. All right. And you can find this link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. And now, even more thermal fun, let me introduce Terry Wasseau from Interface Concept. And yep, you guessed it, we're talking about the best practices for thermal management. Let's go. Welcome, Thierry. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so first off, welcome to Fish Fry, and give my audience a quick recap on what Interface Concept is all about.
Yeah, of course. Amelia, Interface Concept is an embedded system company. So we are basically designing and manufacturing embedded electronic systems and mainly electronic boards. So our business model is to design COTS boards, products. So we are not designing on specification. We are really building our own products. And basically, these are Ethernet switches, 10 gig, 40 gig switches. These are also computer boards, signal processing boards, FPGA boards. Yeah. And we are a fabless company, but all the boards are tested, assembled in some partners. They are tested inside our company. Each board is tested, by the way. So, okay. So we are mainly focused on VPX, VPX 6U, VPX 3U, FMC also. And we are a lot in radar application, electronic warfare applications. We are basically using the VPX standard, the Vita VPX standard, because it offers a lot of bandwidth on the rear of the board, on the backplane. So this is why. And our customers are requiring more and more bandwidth. And this is our, let's say, job to fulfill their needs in this area.
Okay, so let's talk about thermal management. Now, you presented a session at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called Innovative Thermal Management in HPEC VPX Systems. So let's talk more about that. What do you feel are the biggest challenges that we are looking to solve here?
Yes, Amelia. The challenges, so the customers are requesting more and more processing power. Okay, they need very performant embedded VPX systems. So the issue is that this request is driving the cost and also driving the heat of the system. Yeah. So the problem is to extract the heat and to cool these systems. And this is critical because if you do this in a wrong way, you will limit the power of your system. So it is very key to offer very innovative ways of extracting the heat. And this is what we are doing. So we keep on investing R&D to develop nice heat management ways. And it has to be done right at the beginning of the design of a board. You cannot design a board, make a smart hardware, a smart firmware. Yeah. If you only do that and then you say, okay, I will try to cool this down, it's really a wrong design. So we have to really introduce the cooling principle. Principles, the innovative cooling principle, right at the beginning of the design. This is really key. And to do that, you have also to have experts internally. You have to build some simulation softwares. And this is a key part of this. So these softwares are fluid and thermal simulation softwares. And they have to be tuned, and you have to put the right, let's say, features and parameters into these simulation tools so that your design will be good. This is really the challenge. It needs a lot of R&D, a lot of expertise. The guy who really win this competition of heat management will win the end.
So tell me more about the solutions that look like here. What are we looking at to fix these challenges?
Yes. So there are two ways to cool a board, and there are different standards, by the way. The Vita is for the VPX is specifying this. You have the Vita 48.0 for the air cooling, and you have the 48.2 and the 48.5 for other ways of cooling. For 48.2 is for condition cooling. So it depends what you are doing. If you put the board in a chassis, air-cooled chassis, or in a condition-cooled chassis. So for these two cooling techniques, you need to have the best approach. This is what we do, and this is what we try to, let's say, to improve every day by constantly improving the designs.
Okay, Terry, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, if you had one meal left on planet Earth, you get one, that's it. What would it be?
I'd say an apple, probably.
An apple. Okay, so what kind of apple?
I don't know. There are many, many kinds of apple, yes?
That's true.
So in France, we have an apple which is called Boskop. You know that Boskop? Well, it's a certain kind of apple, and it is nice. And that's it.
I love that answer. All right. Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you very much.
Keeping with our energetic theme this week, let's talk about Bluetooth Low Energy. Now, it seems like Bluetooth Low Energy is a critical element of just about every IoT device these days. Super low power consumption, wireless connectivity, and robust features make BLE ideal for IoT edge devices. But maybe you don't know where to start getting BLE into your next design. Well, never fear, folks. EE Journal is here to help. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Enabling IoT Applications with Bluetooth 5 and Thread, I sat down with Pratush Dave from Nordic Semiconductor and chat about how you can easily add BLE to your next IoT design. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or you could check out YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can grab our Fish Frying RSS feed, if anyone uses those anymore, I don't know, or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I'm particularly fond of pinball and old school video games. Anyway, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 23rd, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.